Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Then verse 11, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. Now, this is not a talk about predestination this morning. Very interesting subject. You have to believe in it because the scripture does. But that's not our subject. Why did God call you? Why did he choose you? He says that we did not choose him, but he chose us. So why call you? Why choose you? Why save you? When the world is full of multitudes of people that aren't saved, even in this nation and the other nations from which you come, the vast majority of people are unsaved. So why call you? Why choose you? Why save you? What's so special about you that of all people, God should call you, choose you, save you? You have come to know his love, whereas the vast majority of people don't know that love. Don't believe in that love. Many of them don't even believe in him. But he has chosen to love you and for you to know his love. Why? Was it because he did this all for your sake, so that instead of having an eternity, a Christless eternity in hell, you would have an eternity of glory in heaven? Is that why he did it? Or, as Paul says, God does everything in conformity with his will, with his plan and his purpose. So, did God do all this because he had a plan and purpose for you? Surely he has, because that's what the scripture says. But is that why he chose you, why he called you, why he saved you? Why he has revealed his love to you? He's made you his son or his daughter. We're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, all his children. So he decided to make you one of his children. If we'd gone on reading the next verse, Paul says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the precious seal, the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance that is to come. So, he chose you to be his son, or his daughter. He placed you in Christ. But why? What was his motive in doing all this? It wasn't because of the color of your eyes, because he did all this, or decided all this, before the creation of the world. So it wasn't because of anything that you'd done before you came to know the Lord. If it was all planned by him, why? You see, this question is perhaps the most important question you can ever ask in the whole of your life. If you know the answer to this question, you have the key to life. Life with Jesus. The key to the fulfillment of everything he has planned and purposed for you. Why? 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 It's a question people ask a lot in their lives. Why does this happen? Why does that happen? Why has God let this happen? Why has God let that happen? What does it all mean? And sometimes we can be perplexed as to why certain things take place. But the real why question is, why me, Lord? Why did you call me? Why did you choose me? Why did you make me your child? Why did you make me your son or daughter? Why did you have a plan or purpose for me? Why did you place me in Christ? Why have you given me the life and power of your Spirit? I wonder if I asked you to write down in no more than 6 words the answer to the question, what you would write. It actually only needs 3 words. I wonder how many of you would get it right. Because there is only one right answer. Why did he call you? It wasn't for your sake. It was for his sake. Why did he choose you? It wasn't for your sake. It was for his sake. Why did he make you his child? Not for your sake. but for his sake. Why did he place you in Christ? Not for your sake, but for his sake. Why does he have a plan and purpose for your life? Not for your sake, but for his sake. Why has he revealed his love to you? Not for your sake, but for his sake. Why has he anointed you with the Holy Spirit? Not for your sake, but for his sake. You see, the biggest mistake that most believers make is to think that God did all of that for them. Now, of course, we are all recipients of all those wonderful truths. We have all benefited beyond anything that we could express. We have salvation. We have the gift of eternal life. We have the gift of Christ in us. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are able to live in Christ. We have benefited so much. But he didn't do it for our sake. He did it all for his sake. So you see, Jesus makes this clear to the disciples when he said, "You didn't choose him, he chose you." We make a lot of fuss in telling people to make a decision for Christ. But actually, what we should be revealing to them really is that God has made a decision for them. That the initiative is with them. And when they make a decision for Christ, they are only responding to the decision that he has made for his sake. That the glory that he wants in the lives of his people, the glory that has been robbed by the God of this age, who has blinded people to the truth, that his glory might be revealed and expressed in this person. It's because of what he desires that the answer to all these questions as to why is for his sake. Now, that leaves us with facing an issue in our own lives. Are we living for his sake or for our sake? What we do as Christians, are we doing it all for our benefit? Why are you a student here at Rafi? For your sake? Or for his sake? Why are you on the team? Why do you belong to Kingdom Faith? For your sake? For all the benefits that you can get from serving the Lord in that way? Or for his sake? Okay, so now we know the right answer to the question. So it's a matter of applying the right answer to every area of our lives. What we do day by day, are we doing it for his sake or for our sakes. When you have your time of prayer with the Lord, your quiet time every day, not the 8 o'clock, but your own time, you doing that for him or for you? When you come in here for the 8 o'clock, are you here for him or for you? What you do with your time, with the rest of your life, is it all for him or for you? Jesus, of course, knew that this was the key to discipleship, because he said, if anyone seeks to save his life, he will lose it. We talk an awful lot about saving, being saved. And Jesus said, well, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, for my sake, you will find it. You see, it's there in the Word. For my sake, lose your life. For my sake, then you'll find it. Those of you who were at Horsham last Sunday week and Crawley this last Sunday, I was talking about the teapot and the offering. The teapot representing our lives and the offering of the whole of the pot to the Lord, because it is his, he paid the price for it, we rightly belong to him, and that this actually is the way that I learned to bring people to the Lord. There was no, come into my life, Jesus, or come into my heart, Jesus. I can't find that in the scriptures anywhere. That actually to be born again is an act of surrender as well as forgiveness. Because when you're born again, you begin a life, whereas before you lived for your sake, now you live for his sake. And when that first group of us did that in 1970, we didn't even think or know anything about, or never experienced or even read anything about revival, let alone find ourselves in the middle of one. We were just doing what the Holy Spirit led us to do. I never preached this message then, but I understand that now that was implicit in everything that I was teaching and that God was doing amongst us. By his mercy and grace, we were living for his sake, with such a surrender of our hearts and lives to him, that he was able to move amongst us and in us in a way that we never dreamed was possible. Lose your life, your soul, for my sake. And then you'll really find your life and your soul. It's the same word in Greek. Life, soul, can be translated either way, psuche. So Jesus said, if anyone is going to come after me, he must deny himself, not seek to do everything for his own sake, for the benefit that he will get. No, he's got to deny himself, take up his cross, and come with me. I've been visiting this truth again in a fresh way in the last few days. Particularly during this last night. I think I had about 2 hours sleep last night. I was praying for most of the night. Having to acknowledge to the Lord how in many ways, some inadvertent, some perhaps, if I'm honest, not quite so inadvertent, I'd slipped out of the top gear of ensuring that everything in my life was for His sake. And somewhere in the middle of the night, I came to a fresh repentance. It wasn't that I thought I need to repent, it just happened. And suddenly it was as if a great weight had been lifted off of me. I wasn't even conscious that such a weight was there. And I was flooded with the light of God in a fresh way. I was just kneeling in my study at home, and it was so simple, so wonderful, not really very dramatic, it was just wonderful. And I had to face the truth that there had been some reservation in my heart response to the Lord. I wouldn't have called it that or even realized really the significance of that. But I just realized there were certain things I did for my sake and not His sake. Some ways in which I used my time for my sake, not His sake. It actually, This whole thing gets more difficult the older you get. Because I'm at an age now where I can't live at the pace that I used to live. I haven't got the stamina that I had when I was 36 instead of 76. Even though the Lord, I know, sustains me and enables me. But you can't keep going sort of full bore like I have all my life from about 6 in the morning till 11 at night, relentlessly day after day, being thankful if you ever had a day off. I mean, that's been my life. And it hasn't been a burden, it's been a joy, it's been a privilege. And I remember that something that Wesley said towards the end of his life, he died when he was in his mid-60s, but in the mid-60s then was somewhat older than it would be now. You were an old man in your mid-60s in those days. But he said, I don't know what would have become of me if I didn't have to preach the gospel 5 times every day. I knew exactly what he meant. When you have to be involved in ministry all the time, your focus has to be on the Lord. It has to be on doing whatever for His sake and not for your sake. You're certainly not in ministry for your own sake. If you are, you won't get very far and God won't use you very greatly. But I know exactly what he meant. When you're so busy in the Lord's work that you don't have time, almost you don't have time to think, you just have to keep going in the flow of the Spirit. The most intensive time of ministry I ever had was a tour in Canada for 2.5 weeks when I had 63 meetings in about 17 days. That's intensive ministry. If you add to that the traveling in between the meetings and having to have lunch and meals with leaders and so on in between the meetings. But you see, you get into almost like a groove, flow of the Spirit, and that's simple. You just keep going step by step with the Lord. But when you can't go at that pace and you have to have time on your hands, I've discovered it's so easy to slip out of that gear while you're doing everything for His sake. And you're doing some things for your own sake. So I'm not preaching to you as the one who has got it all together. If I got it all together, it was in the middle of this last night, when by the grace of God, He met with me. I find that the most significant times of meeting with God is when you're not really expecting it, not when you're seeking it. I wasn't really expecting it, except that God said to me yesterday morning that today in this meeting there was going to be a fresh release of His Spirit and of His purpose amongst us. And I didn't at the time, I didn't sort of put these two things together. So there we are, my friends. Now we know why we're here. Now we know why He called us, chose us. But let me, just before we get back to prayer, unpack for you a little of what this means. And I realized that this is what God taught me when I first came to know Him as a young boy. I had a sovereign meeting with Him then. I didn't come from a Christian family, so it really was a sovereign work of God. But ever since that time, I have never, ever, 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 not even for a moment of time, questioned God's love for me. Doesn't matter what happened, what trials, difficulties, opposition, persecution I've been through, and I've been through plenty of that, plenty of rejection. But never, ever, ever have I even dreamed of questioning the Lord's love. And you see, this is the point. The first words that I read from the scripture this morning were these: in love, He predestined us. In love. He called you. in love. He chose you in love. He made you a child of his love. He filled you with the Spirit of his love. He has placed you in himself, and he is love. So what's the implication of this? Why? For his sake, well, just about the most frustrating experience I think that people can have is to love someone that doesn't love them. Unrequited love. To love and there's just no response. If you've ever fallen in love with someone who hasn't fallen in love with you, then you can understand that. So it's all been done in love. Faith is essentially faith in his love. Faith in his love for you. That's why he called you. Faith in his love for you. Because that's why he chose you. Faith in his love for you, because that's why he filled you. Faith in his love for you, because that's why he put you in Christ. You are one of the most loved people on earth, and the one who loves you is God. Now, I've known that all these years. I know how old I was when I first realized it. 10, 11, something like that. 60-odd years ago or more. So it was a bit of a shock for me to have to face. I've lived in that. But what hasn't been motivated by love for him, because we can only love because he first loved us. It's all there in the scripture. It isn't that I need more of his love. I just need to understand more how much he loves me. How much he loves me. And he loved me before I was even created. He doesn't love me because of who I am or anything I've done. He chose to love me. He just chose to make me the object of his love. To reveal that love. To maybe be a child of his love. Son of God. In love. But you see, he chose each one of us in precisely that same way. In love. You've heard me say again and again that when there's true revival, the mark of that revival is not the power, the miracles, the faith, or even the number of people that come to the Lord. The mark of true revival is why all those things happen. And it's because God's people live in this most amazing revelation of his love. When I look back to what happened in that church in Luton in the 1970s, that was the hallmark, the love. The people, I told you, people were coming from all over the place. Every Sunday the church was filled with hundreds of visitors coming to meet with the Lord. And they would say to me at the end of meeting, never seen a group of people who love one another like you do in this church. And I think, wait a minute, you've only been at a service. How on earth have you managed to discern that? How can it communicate that we all love one another when all you've done is been to a service? But somehow that dynamic of his love is such. And you've heard me say before, I never found that again until I went to the revival churches in South America. Same love was there. It's there within us. At least in embryo, because God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And all these years while I've been praying and waiting and longing to see the revival that God's been promised that will last for a generation, which we keep coming to the edge of, but never quite falling right into. I believe God wants us to fall into it now. But what that means is we've got to fall into love. And because we can only love because he first loves us, God just wants us to come to a fresh understanding and revelation of how great his love is for us. The more we realize how much he loves us, what is that going to do? What is that going to do to you? Isn't it going to draw out of you a response to that love? I mean, the greater the revelation of his love, isn't there going to be a greater response of your love? Doesn't that make sense? And it isn't that we don't love him. Of course we love the Lord. We wouldn't be here if we didn't love the Lord. But the secret of that love is knowing that we live for his sake. That he's done it all for his sake. All that he's planned and purposed, not really for our sake. It's for his sake. We're just the beneficiaries of it all. But it's so that he can be glorified and his will can be fulfilled, that the kingdom will come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lead us not into temptation, especially the temptation of thinking that God has done it all for our sakes. There are so many so-called moves of God around the world at present that focus on saying that God has done it all for our sakes. Beloved, that will never lead to revival. That will never change nations. That will never impact society. Not until we're living for his sake. So there we are. That's the keynote for the rest of your life. Not just for this week. So how are we going to respond? Well, I don't know. It's up to you. That's the thing. Nobody can force anybody else to respond to the revelation of the truth. God leaves that all entirely in the hands of each individual. I can stand, God told me yesterday morning before all this happened to me during the night, he said, tomorrow you will stand before me with a greater confidence, and you will stand before the people with a greater confidence than you've had for a long time. And you see, that confidence just comes out of knowing, okay, Lord, I'm back where I want everything in my life to be for your sake. And I say no to anything that would feed my fleshly soul life all for Jesus. All for Jesus. So we began to praise him. We'll get back to it when I finish speaking. But I was praying, Lord, let us worship you as never before, praise you as never before. Take us to new heights, even in our worship. Why? Because our focus isn't on worshiping him, but our focus is on the one we worship. I don't know whether I told you this, but when I was up at Premier Radio 2 or 3 weeks ago doing some interviews for the Lord's Orchard, the interviewer said to me when we were off air, he said, what do you make of all this movement of worship that's going on everywhere? Because we have so many people come in to the studio here to talk about this worship. And this was the gist of what he was saying. He said, but it seems to me all we're doing is creating worship superstars. And people are falling in love with worship rather than with God. And I thought, amen. And then I said to him, that's because they don't know what it is to worship in the Holy of Holies. They think the holy place where they are in his presence is the Holy of Holies, but it isn't. It's just the holy place. Because in the Holy of Holies, there are no superstars. Everybody, like the host of heaven, everybody's on their knees and their faces before God. Everybody is just pouring out their love for God. There's no superstars. There's no CDs to sell. A few years ago, John Bevere came to speak at the camp, and he came for 2 years running. He was so impacted by the worship, because at that time, our worship really was, I mean, there was, it's good now, but there was a particular anointing on the worship for a few years around that time. And he saw people meeting with God in the worship in a way he'd never seen before. And he said, I'm going to go everywhere around the world and tell people about this worship. and how you've got beyond songs and are just pouring out your hearts to God in worship. And then he was going to a particularly famous, I don't mention any names publicly, but a particularly famous worship ministry in another nation. And he said, I'm going to talk to the worship leaders there about all this. And he phoned me some months later, and he said, I'm in a hotel room writing a book, and I just want you to know that all the time that I'm writing, I'm playing your worship CD in the background. And I find it just so inspirational, I thought I'd just phone you and let you know. So when he came back the following year to speak again at camp, I said to him, I reminded him what he said. I said, you said that you were going to talk to all these major worship ministries about our worship. What was the response? Because I had suspected what response he would get because I've had a bit of it myself. I said, what response did you get? And he said, sadly, they weren't interested because they said worship in the spirit like that doesn't sell CDs. Only songs sell CDs. Now, I'm not saying this in judgment, but I just ask the question then, are they doing it for his sake or for their sakes? To sell thousands of... I'm not saying it in judgment, I'm just using it as an illustration how we can get so caught up in doing things, but really, is it for his sake? Or to sell CDs and books. I've always been hopeless at advertising my books at meetings. You know, some other speakers, they can really give their books a big beef up. And I always forget even to mention mine. Because I'm not there to sell books, you see. Oh, there's nothing wrong with selling books, you understand. Because it can be a good follow-up, but it's everything for his sake. Have we got it? Have I dribbled on long enough for you to really get the message? Can you see how subtle it is, even in our serving of the Lord, to think that we're doing what we're doing is for his sake, when in fact there are those self issues stand in the way of the best. Come on, let's get to our feet. Come out of our comfort zones in the chairs. Really, it's over to you. I mean, but silence isn't a response. So if you're responding now to what God has said, you can't be silent. Nor can you just speak in tongues. You do need to pour out your heart in your own language. And say whatever needs to be said. I mean, you don't have to beat yourself up, but if you just realize, oh God, I'm still so concerned about myself. Instead of losing myself, I get so concerned about myself. And Lord, so much of what I do, even in my spiritual life, is for my sake rather than your sake. Perhaps some of you have got to say that. Perhaps many of you really need to say to the Lord, I want to get into a new gear. as a result of this morning's message. I want to live 100% for your sake, because you loved me and you called me in love. You chose me in love. You made me your child in love. You filled me in your love. You did it all for your sake, because you love me. And Lord, all I can do is just respond to your glorious, wonderful, wonderful love. And I just pray, Lord, for a greater revelation, greater understanding of your love for me, so that I can respond with a greater love for you, and just be lost in you, and lost in really walking at one with you and living for you. I don't want any stuff in my life that does not honor you, that is not for your sake. I just don't want any of that stuff. I don't want anything that stands in the way of your best and finest purposes. I want your best, Jesus, for your sake, to glorify you, to praise you, to honor you, to see you fulfilled in my life. Lord, I want a heart that is really just given over completely to you, with no caveats, with no reservations, not keeping a little part for myself, but I want a wholehearted devotion to you, a wholehearted love for you. Karabataria leto bakalasitri santum. Bazandaria leto bakalasitri sandaria leto bakalasitri santo. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Puratabaria leto bakalasitri sandaria leto bakalasitri sanduma. Oh, bazandaria leto bakalasitri sandaria leto bakalasitum. Oh, rasata balandum, for you, Lord, for your sake. I want to live today for your sake. I want to live tomorrow for your sake. I want to live every day for your sake. Puratabaria lero bakalasitri sanduma. Oh, paparia lero bakalasitri sanduma. All for Jesus. All for your sake, Lord. Paparasarabaria lero bakalasitri. Oh, Lord, I realize that's why you called me. That's why you chose me. That's why you have a plan and purpose for my life, for your sake, to see your plan fulfilled, your purpose fulfilled, to see your glory revealed in my life, to see yourself reflected in me, even in some insignificant way, but Lord, at least something of you to be reflected in my life. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Palala bazaria lero bakalasitri sandum. Barala bazara balandum asataria lero bakalasinum. Thank you. You haven't called me to self-love. You called me to love for you, Lord. To love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. Puratabaria, because you love me like that. I thank you, Lord. There's no reservations in your love for me, that your love is just total. Your love is complete. Your love is perfect. Your love is full every day of my life, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what I'm getting up to. Your love is always constant. It's always the same. It never changes. Day by day, you never change, that you are the same yesterday, today, forever. Your love is the same today. It'll be the same forever. It'll be the same tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. Pura la basarabaria lero bakalasitri santo. Basarabaria lero bakalasitri sandaria lero bakalasinoma. Balatabaria lero bakalasitri sandaria lero bakalasinoma. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Puralabasarabaria lero bakalasitri sandum. Puralabasarabaria lero bakalasitri sandum. All for your sake, Lord. Paparasarabaria lero bakalasinum. Living for you, using the time. Lord, redeem the time. Paparasarabaria lero bakalasinum. Puparra sarabaria lerobakala sitri santo. Oh ratabaria lerobakala sitri sandaria lerobakala sinoma. Come and just pour out your heart to him. Oh, Jesus. No reservations, no holding back. No caveats. All for Jesus. Palala basarabari alero bakala sitri santo. Balatapari alero bakala sitri sandari alero bakala sitri sandoma. Oh, ratapari alero bakala sitri sandoma. Lord, just take away those things of self that have been like a cloak, that have been like a veil, that have been like a blanket of heaviness on our lives. And just lift off all those things, Lord. Please, please, by the power of your Spirit, free us, liberate us from all those things of self-seeking, all those things of self-concern. Just clothe us afresh, Lord, with the light of your salvation. All for you, Jesus. Not just in words, but in reality. Not just in words, Lord. Not just in words. Not just in words. But in truth. Indeed and in truth. Let us not love with words only, but indeed and truth, the word of God says. To love you by what we do. To love you by walking in the truth. To love you by letting the truth be revealed in every part of our lives. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. The world is groaning in travail, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. And Lord, we know that we can't be revealed in the way that you want unless we're ready to lose our souls in order to really gain them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Lord. I'll give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Balandari alero bakala sitri sandari alero bakala sitri santuma. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Palatapari alero bakala sitri santuma. Hallelujah. Keep pouring out your heart. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Papara Zadabari Aleto Bakala Sitri Sandama. Papara Zadabari Aleto Bakala Sinama. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he has freely given us in the one he loves. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for the grace to live lives of love for you. Praise you, Jesus. To be sold out for you, Lord. To really be sold out for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pura tapari aleto bakala sitri santo. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. In Christ, you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. All for the praise of your glory, Lord. All for your glory in my life. All for the praise of your glory in my life. That everything, Lord, will glorify you. Thank you for your mercy for each one of us here. Thank you, Lord, that you are ready to forgive anything and everything in our lives that does not glorify you. Anything that glorifies self rather than you. Thank you, Lord. It's all for you. It's all for your sake. It's all for your glory. It's all a response to that wonderful, wonderful love that you have for us. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Because, listen to this, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. For our sake, no, but because of his great love. Hallelujah. That wouldn't be unrequited love, but we would respond to that love. And love him with all our hearts, minds, soul, strength. Oh, what a God of infinite patience and mercy and loving kindness. Oh, what patience he has with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We can cast off the things that don't glorify you. And we can put on all that does glorify you. Praise your name. Paratabari eletto bagalasitri sandoma. Bazatabari eletto bagalasitri sandoma. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from ourselves. It is the gift of God. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do so, for us to do the plans and purposes he has for us. Hallelujah. In response to this great love. Koratabari aleto bagala sato bagala zidri sandu.
Balataparia leto bakalasita di sandaria leto bakalasita di santo. For his sake. Polataparia leto bakalasita di sandaria leto bakalasita di santoma. Basandaria letto bagalasitri, sandaria letto bagalasitri, sanduma. O basadaparia letto bagalasitri, sandaria letto bagalasitri, sandaria letto bagalasitri, sanduma. Basandaria letto bagalasitri, sandaria letto bagalasotri, sanduma. Thank you, Lord. Purataparia letto bagalasitri, sanda bagalasotri, sanduma. Poparia letto bakalasitri, sandaria letto bakalasitri, sanduma. Paparia letto bakalasitri, sanda bakalasanduma. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What love. What love that gives us such hope, gives us such an inheritance. What love. Papa razadabaria leto bakalasita di sando. O bazadabaria leto bakalasita di sando. What love. Paratabaria leto bakalasita di sandaria leto bakalasita di sando. Basandaria letto bagalasitri, sandaria letto bagalasitri, sanduma. Basadabaria letto bagalasitri, sandaria letto bagalasitri, sanduma. Paparazadabaria letto bagalasitri, sandum bagalasitri, sanduma. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Palatabaria letto bagalasitri, sandaria letto bagalasitri, sanduma. Basadabaria letto bakalasitri, sandaria letto bakalasitri, sanduma. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What a wonderful prayer. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we take that prayer for ourselves today. Prayer that Paul first prayed over the Ephesians. We pray it over our lives here at Kingdom Faith on this morning. Yes, Lord, that we may be rooted and established in love, and may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Yes, the more you have that revelation of the love, the more of the fullness in your life. It's all there in the Word of God. Paratapari aleto bakalasitri sanduma. Balatapari aleto bakalasitri sanduma. Bazatapari aleto bakalasitri sandari aleto bakalasinama. Opapari aleto bakalasitri sandari aleto bakalasanduma. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Palatapari aleto bakalasitri sandari aleto bakalasinama. Balandaria letto bakalasitri sandaria letto bakalasitri sanduma. Opasarabaria letto bakalasitri sandaria letto bakalasinama. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Palataparia letto bakalasitri sanduma. O paparia letto bakalasitri sandaria letto bakalasanduma. All for your glory, Lord. All for your glory. Paladaria letto bakalasitri, sandaria letto bakalasinama. Come on, let's praise him together. Let's exalt him together. Let's praise the one who is love. The one who has predestined us in love. The one who has called and chosen us in love. The one who has made us his children in love. No reservations, Lord. I want no reservations in my love for you. O papari alero bakala zidri sandari alero bakala zidri sando. O pasarabari alero bakala zidri sandari alero bakala zidri sanduma. O pasarabari alero bakala zidri sandari alero bakala zidri sando. O pasarabari alero bakala zidri sandari alero bakala sanduma. O papari alero bakala zidri sandari alendo bakala zondo. Yes, yes, yes. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. We sing it. Let's live it. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Hallelujah. Come on, let's say it together. Love, so amazing. So divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Poratabaria leto bakalasituri sandaria leto bakalasinama. Bazandaria leto bakalasituri sandaria leto bakalasituri santa. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We're going to draw this time to a close, but I'm still believe what God says, that he's bringing a fresh release amongst us this morning. I suggest that in your groups, you just go on. You go on responding to what God is saying. Sometimes it's easier to do that in a small group than it is in a big group like this. That's so much more important than anything else you could be doing at this time. Just praying right through to that place where you know you're in the place of surrender to his love in the way that he desires. If you're there already, praise God. But if you're not, keep praying through till you come to that place. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's just thank the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. I praise your name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Kalalapa sarabari alero bakara sidri sandari alero ba. O papari alero bakara sidri sandari alero ma. O papari alero bakara sidri sandari alero bakara sundama. O pasarabari alero bakara sidri sandari alero bakara sidri sandama. Thank you, Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.